you, at the end of the day, you're the only person tracking your progress. And you have to answer to yourself. So you have to be honest. You have to be earnest. And you have to push yourself as hard as you can and then push a little further. Welcome back to Color Pod with Kazeed. Thank you so much for tuning in. Happy 2024. I hope you guys had good holidays. I had a lot of fun. I went to Chicago. I did get sick though, and it was like pretty like long cold. Like I had 2-3 weeks of cold and just like kind of feeling 80%. But overall, great time with family, lots of laughter, and lots of binge watching stuff. I would love to know like what you guys have seen recently. I just finished Super Pumped, which is about like the birth of Uber, Netflix show. Really good. I saw Drive to Survive, which is also on Netflix. It's a documentary about Formula One. So freaking good. And I think there's something awesome about watching athletes like going all in 100%. And it's just inspiring. It's dangerous, but they put their lives, you know, into danger to achieve something big. And it's just super inspiring. So today, what I want to talk about is talk about the expectations from like a new year. We live in a world where we don't live private lives anymore, and everybody kind of shares like what they're about and what they're doing. And the one thing that kind of gets fabricated a little bit is we like to share our wins and not necessarily our failures. And yeah, it gets morose sometimes and morbid, and we don't necessarily only want to talk about like losing and failures and all that stuff. But I also feel like it just sets a wrong precedent. Like it just sets the wrong expectation when you just go, everybody all the time is winning except me. Okay. Even if you have a successful life. So I kind of want to take you through steps that will get you jazzed up and will get you like fired up for this year. But at the same time, it's going to be true to, it should be true to your core. Okay, so that's the idea. And there's going to be some things that you're going to go, dude, don't make me do it. Like, that's not something that I do. And I cringe when you say this or when somebody talks about it. But I feel like that's the necessary evil. Sometimes we just have to do things. Even if they're just sort of like, that's not my thing, you got to change that mindset. So a lot of us, like we put ourselves in boxes, right? Like if my wife is a photographer, I also love photography. I'm actually very good at photography, but because my wife is a photographer, I go, why don't you just do it? Like you do it, you're the photographer. So I just like took myself out of the equation and I just kind of relegated myself for no reason because I'm still really good. But now the last 12 years, because I haven't photographed as much as I could have because I just said and declared, I'm not a photographer, you're a photographer. Now I'm not as good as what I could have been. So what I'm trying to tell you is that keep an eye out for that. Like when you catch yourself kind of putting those labels on yourself, just know that, hey, I might be doing that thing that Kazi talked about. So pull yourself out of it, right? Like jujitsu yourself out of it and just be like, no, I can do it. It's just, if I don't have time to do it, that's a different thing, but it's not my identity, okay? So one thing that I wanna just kind of throw out there, we're gonna jump right in. The first thing, if you wanna hit the ground running, is going to be sell, sell, sell. Okay, what do I mean by that? I'm listening to Arnold's latest book, and there's something that he talked about in there that just like really resonated and stuck with me, which is, you know, basically what he said is that be proud of what you do and talk about it or else no one will know about it. And that is extremely true that I can attest to because he used the example. He's like, when I joined the bodybuilding scene, we were looked at as like dumb brutes, like people that can't do anything else. They just go to the gym, they hit the gym, they're dumb, they're stupid. He's like, there was that persona around it. And he's like, I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, why are we looked at that way? Why are we looked at like we're a joke? And he's like, what I realize is that to all the publishers and media outlets, nobody was telling them what goes into becoming a bodybuilder. Like the rituals, like the routine, like the discipline, the mental strength, what it takes to actually be a bodybuilder. So he's like, I sat with these big behemoth media companies and I told them, like I took them through, I educated them on the process of like what it takes to be a bodybuilder. And he's like, it started shifting the entire mindset around working out and bodybuilding. And now it's like a $1 trillion freaking industry. It just, there's so much content out there about bodybuilding and it's not looked at like it's a joke. Like now everybody's just like, I wanna get in good health. I mean, what is everybody's one resolution every year on January 1st? You wanna hit the gym, right? Like I went to the gym yesterday, it was a nightmare. But the point is, you know, you have to tell people what you do for them to believe in you. Like that's just as simple as that. So if you don't tell me what you do, why would I pay you? Why would I hire you? So just know that, okay? And get out of that mindset of just like, I just don't like selling Kazi, blah, blah, blah. If you actually feel like you're hurting and you can't really get jobs or you can't like really be seen in like what it is that you do, that is your problem. So you got to work on that. So I'm pinpointing it and I'm starting with like the hardest thing, like sell, sell, sell. Like nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to talk about it. Something that you just have to do is a necessary evil for success. Second point we're going to talk about is only reps that count are the ones that hurt. Okay. And this one like really, again, hit me hard. That's Muhammad Ali's quote. And basically they said that when he would be working out, he wouldn't count any reps until he hit that point where he's like, I can't do it anymore. And then every rep from that point is the ones that he logged. And that really does a number on your, like, you know, on your head when you think about it, because it's just like you, at the end of the day, you're the only person tracking your progress and you have to answer to yourself. So you have to be honest, you have to be earnest, and you have to push yourself as hard as you can and then push a little further. And that little further is the thing where nobody goes. So that's the 1%. That's the 0.1%, not even the 1%. So it's like, people are not going there. So if you can figure out to go this high, but then just go a little further, game over. Okay, so that is extremely important. Another thing that I want to talk about is stay inspired, be inspired, build an environment around you that keeps you jacked up. That is extremely important. If there's one thing that I picked up from the show Super Pumped is that one of the main things of the founder of Uber was that, hey, one of their principles were that everybody needs to be jacked up. And that is important because if I come to you and I say, if I came to my wife and said, I have a $1 million idea, it's called Freelance Colorist Masterclass. I'm going to create a program that is going to help millions of people around the world and is going to change lives. And she would have laughed and said, oh, really? I also got like 10 of those ideas, $1 million ideas. That would have just like, that would have killed it. That would have just made me go, okay, this is the person that I trust the most. And she thinks this is a joke. So how good can it really be? But the answer was the opposite. Everybody around me was just like, holy shit, this is genius. This is amazing. And if I was a colorist, I would want to know this information. When is it coming out? And everybody was so hyped and so pumped that for me, I went from like, oh, is it going to be any good? Thinking about those stupid, dumb thoughts, I went straight into like, this is going to be a banger. And when this comes out, lives are going to be changed. And then all of that exactly happened in that order. Okay. So stay with people that are inspiring. That's my brand new rule. Like I made some bad hires last year. And what I learned from it, like I ended up like getting rid of all of those people. And my message from that and my lesson from that was just like, I only want to work with people that are jacked up, that are swimming in the Kool-Aid, okay? Like when I talk to them, I look forward to talking to my employees because I'm pumped and they're pumped. And we are constantly improving each other and we're constantly giving each other energy. Like every day is going to be different. Sometimes I'm gonna wake up with a sore throat. I'm not feeling my 100%. I need to talk to somebody who's just like pumped. And then all of a sudden I'm just like, dude, like, let's go. Like, you know, I don't need to be my own, like, you know, cheerleader at all times. So that is extremely important. And if you're stuck in an environment where you just don't have people that are doing that to you, maybe use the beginning of the year as like one of the resolutions to like find people that can do that for you. That is extremely important. That will never change. Okay. That, like, I fucking hate the saying, just be realistic. Like, the reason why I hate and loathe grading forums, any forum, Reddit, like whatever, there is like a grading community, most of them, I hate them and I loathe them because it is filled with people that are giving you the advice of be realistic. They are low achievers that are literally running doubt factories. Like, that's what's happening there. Like, they just got so much time in their hand to critique you than actually spending that time to improve and make a difference, right? I don't need that advice. Like, I just want to keep going. I want to keep pushing, you know? There's a time and place for just like, hey, critique my work so I can get better. Like, I don't want an average Joe to critique my work. Like, let me actually go to the source, somebody who's better than me. Let me go to Tom Poole. Let me go to Jill Bogdanovich and say, can you look at my work and tell me what I can improve? Like, I don't want a fucking nobody telling me like what I can do better at something, because I'm already better in that thing from you. So like, why would I learn from you? And that's just my mindset. And it might rub a lot of people the wrong way. And I just don't care about that, because I'm literally talking based on experience and what got me the little bit of, you know, success that I have today, that I didn't listen to those people. And I've seen too many lives gotten ruined, people that just like start listening to anybody and everybody. Not all advice is great advice. And the faster you learn that, the better. Because people who can't do shit, all they do is they give advice. And there's nothing worse than free advice and bad advice. Like, I'm just telling you. So like, I get super passionate about this thing because, again, I've seen too many people, their fire getting extinguished because they end up at these places. They're bad. You might as well, you know, develop a really stupid, terrible habit than like actually ending up like, you know, going to these forums day in and day out. They don't really help. That's one thing that I just feel like you have to stay away from, those environments where people are like just crushing your gas, like crushing your juice, like, because that juice is extremely important, right? Because I mean, it's like, if you want to talk about being realistic, then I would be working at a gas station or driving a cab, because I'm from Pakistan. I wouldn't be, you know, out there killing it like at what I do. Fuck the norms. Like, fuck the being realistic thing. Like, you have to go out there and do your thing and follow your instinct. So these things, like, I get super passionate about, because this is based on my true life. Like, this is my life that I'm living and things that I'm doing that are working and things that I could have done that, like, absolutely taken a different, like, I could have taken a completely different road, right? So I'm just, like, saying, be very aware of that. I want to talk about quit the 20-step morning routine. That's another thing that I just feel like is just very 2020. Like, let's get past that. Let's get past the cold plunge and the yoga and grounding yourself and, you know, a one-hour-long gratitude journal. Like, I understand that. But you know what's better than that? Getting to work. Because results are greater than preparation. And once you win, you want to keep winning, okay? It's an addiction. And this is the reason why a 40-year-old soccer player who's way past his prime is still playing for some no-name team. Why? Because they want to win one more time. So once you win, that is going to take care of your mental, your mindset, and all of those things. You wouldn't need 18 things in the beginning of the day to get you dialed in to go kill it. Because you killed it last night, you know how to kill it. You're gonna just hit the ground running, okay? So that, like, you can save a lot of time, I'm telling you, because what happened to me is that for the last few years, I built so many rituals that I had to do in the morning to get to work, that by the time I got to work, I was so spent, man. Like, I just didn't want to work. I was, like, so tired from, like, every single meticulous thing that I did to get to work that I'm just like, okay, like, we'll do it tomorrow. So just be very, very careful of that. Develop one new money-making skill, okay? Money, 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 man. Like, if you want to provide a better life for your family, if you want to have less fights with your significant other or arguments,
if you want less stress in your life, you want to take care of one variable that is in your control, which is money. It matters, okay? We as creatives don't want to talk about it. It's important. So this year, take an opportunity, you know, to just learn one skill. What am I talking about? Let's say you have a great product. You sell lots. You have whatever. You believe in it. You developed it. You put a lot of work into it. You know what you're doing. You can't sell it. Well, learn copywriting, okay? Like, learn how to write to, like, engage people, because maybe you're coming from a technician's point of view. You know, maybe you're just talking all this jargon that an average Joe doesn't understand. So you're missing out on 8 billion people because only, you know, 3,000 people can understand what you're selling, but you don't have a lot of reach and you can't reach those 3,000 people, okay? So you have to change your angle. Learn copywriting. If you can grade but still can't find work, learn soft skills. Soft skills are it when it comes to, I would say, any career. Like, you have to walk the walk, but you have to talk the talk, right? Like, you have to, like, really, excuse me, you really have to sell your skills. Going back to that Arnold's example, sell, sell, sell. Like, you have to tell people what you do and how you did it. That doesn't mean that you have to complicate, you know, the process. But yesterday I worked on a look for one of my clients. And then when I sent him the look, I sent him a 1 minute long voice message and I explained to him what I did, how I went about it, and how we can't push it any further. This is the farthest we can go with this look. And that sealed the deal. Like, you know, the client gets that, they, you know, they can put two and two together and they go, oh my God, okay, check, check, check. Amazing job. This looks perfect. That's great. Okay. So soft skills, very important. If you make a lot of money, but you always end up with nothing, then learn about finances. Okay. That's something that, you know, a lot of people struggle with, because we, even if you start, well, you know, one, you don't make money, then you start making money. When you start making money, you, maybe you spend a lot of money, because having, like, financial prowess is not built in. Okay. So you have to go get it. You have to, like, listen to people. And I'm not saying listening to people that are telling you to save $5 on a cup of coffee, you know, Dave Ramsey, that ain't my dude. Like, that's a shit advice. Like, somebody that tells me, kill every single joy in your life to save money, so when you're 85, you have some money in the bank? No, that is the worst advice I've ever heard. So no, get that $5 cup of coffee if it gives you enough juice to go make $1,000 a day, you know? So that I'm not talking about, but I'm saying, like, find your person to get money advice from, somebody that you can resonate with and go, okay, this makes sense. And finally, I want to talk about one good year can change your entire life, okay? The year I went freelancing, when I started freelancing, it was a beginning to all of this, okay? The year I started going ham on social media was, the beginning to all of this. It completely shifted my mindset and changed everything the way I approached it back in the day. I was that... you know, elitist, conceited asshole a little bit, like, when before social media, I would look at, like, YouTube videos and I would look at social media and kind of roll my eyes and be like, yeah, but I'm sitting here at an agency banging out, like, putting out next Nissan's, you know, commercial campaign, or, you know, I don't know, 2016, 2017, you know, I'm the hot shit. Like, I'm doing this while people are making cute little videos on YouTube. So that mind shift was massive for me. And when I accepted it and when I understood it and the power of it, like, how it's so easy in this day and age to be your own boss, and everybody should be thriving for that. If you're not, you're on the wrong track. Like, everybody should be working for themselves. Everybody should be building and starting their own businesses, because it's just gotten that easy. And especially after COVID, you know, COVID was horrible on so many levels, but one good thing that came out of it is remote work became the norm, which means you could be in India, you could be in Sri Lanka, you could be in Nigeria. It doesn't matter. You could be working on really sick projects if you follow the other steps that I just mentioned here, and you can start killing it in your country, in your home, with your slow internet. It is possible. The year I created FCM absolutely changed everything. Absolutely changed everything. Like, one, made me a much better colorist. All of us say when you teach, you become better at, you know, what you knew before. And it gave me so many insights while I was creating the course. Not to mention, helping people at scale is just so intoxicating. It is such a crazy feeling of just like everything that I always had here and I wanted to do, now I get to do at that level. It is such an amazing feeling. And like when you get that message, when you get that email, everybody that's successful and worked for it, they care about every single like comment that they get where they're appreciated. It always means a lot. Like it just, I'm telling you, like it, from me having 100 followers to like 469,000 followers here, when I get a message, when I get a DM and somebody shares their win, it makes my day. And that never changes. And to get that and to be able to be in that position, it just makes my life so much happier to just know the impact of this. And that's the fuel that you need to keep going, okay? So that, I'm talking about like 1 year that can change your entire life. It is that important, okay? So when FCM was created, that year was insane. Then the year I started treating social media as a business, another thing that absolutely changed the course of our lives, my family and I, when I actually started looking at social media, not as just like rolling the dice, you know, you get a viral video or you don't. Roll another dice. Like once I stopped looking at that and I started focusing on the depth, right? And I started focusing on like, I can make a video that might get 5,000 views, but people might end up getting 20 people out of that might end up getting FCM. And not only their lives is going to be changed, so the ripple effect there, but the income that I just generated for myself. So like putting those, you know, two and two together was out of control to just be like, this is a business. Like I can't just do it on a Sunday and then I don't feel like doing it for the next 2 weeks. Like it has to be attended to just like when you open a shop, like if you run a restaurant, like you have to show up and you have to be there whether you're sick or not. And this is no different, right? Like, I mean, you guys hear me coughing, like my throat is hurting. I'm still sick, but I'm like, I want to share these insights. I want to share these things that are in my head with people at the beginning of the year because time is of the essence. It matters. Now, let me tell you one more thing. That's a sidebar. But I've been seeing a lot of people, you know, trying to play it cool. And they're making a lot of these posts about like, this new year, well, I will not be going to the gym or I will not be doing this and I will not be doing that. And instead, I will find myself. Good for you, man. That's awesome. But it's kind of shitty. It kind of fucking sucks. And trust me, even those people, when they pretend like they're not looking for likes or something, those posts always get a lot of attention because it's an opposing view. And everybody will always come in and be like, yeah, that's the realist. Like, you know, that's the advice. Like, why wouldn't you want, like, things that can fire you up? Why wouldn't you want every single opportunity that you can latch onto that gives you the launching pad, right? So New Year is no different. Like, I don't want to skip the gym. I want to get back to learning how to swim. I want to work on X, Y, and Z. I want to get back to that. What is wrong with that for you to get like jazzed up and be like, I want to get back to that thing that I was doing that I was so happy about and somehow, you know, throughout the year, I lost my fire. I want to like rekindle that. What's wrong with that? So that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. I'm not so much about that advice of just like the, I'm just a cool guy. I'm just going to do this and I'm not going to do anything new. Ha ha ha. Like all of you fools. That person at the end is the one that's losing. I'm telling you guaranteed right now. Like the mindset always should be, I want to be pumped up. I want to be jazzed up. I want to be listening to content that will improve me in every single way. I'm not talking about just all this money. There's a lot of books that I've read about like how to come out of the gap and be in the game, right? How can we win instead of like looking at glass half empty? Now, personally, I'm not that guy, but there are times when I'm losing, like that I start looking at glass half empty. So then I figured it out methodically. I sat down and I'm like, what the hell is going on with you, bro? Like, what's happening with you? And then what needs to happen to change that? And then I went and found content to read about that and then mentally have that shift, right? And then completely like call myself out every single time I'm in the gap or have my wife, have people that are close to me be accountable for me and make me accountable that anytime something happens, they call me out and they go, hey man, you're in the gap. And I go, you know what? You're right. You're right. I'm going to stop right now. So all those things are important. So that's what I'm saying. Like the beginning of the year is a beautiful thing. Like let's use that momentum and build something great. And again, don't forget, one good year will change your life, can change your life. So don't take that for granted. And then 1 year, one goal, okay? That is extremely important because if I were to ask you, can you take all your New Year resolution and just twirl it down to and condense it into one goal? Can you do that? I did that just now, okay? Like I was working on it and I'm like, even when I'm writing this, right, I'm just going, holy hell. Like, yes, these are all different years. When I went freelancing, when I started killing it on social, when I created FCM, and when I started treating social media as a business. So I'm like, these are different years. And they just have such a profound effect on my life. So then I'm like, let me focus on one goal. And that's the big goal. Like, there's going to be a bunch of little things. I want to travel somewhere new, blah, blah, blah. All that is good. But what happens is this. If you have four goals, you can only give 25% to each one, okay? But just remember, somebody else out there is giving 100% to that same goal that you're giving 25%. So now, put that into perspective, who do you think is gonna win? It's just that simple. So you have to have one rock star goal that you go 100% in, then you're a freaking danger in that domain. And that's the difference between you and then everybody else that has 10 different goals and they're giving 10% to the goal that you're giving 100% to, okay? So my goal this year, I'm focusing on developing products for Resolve, developing a toolkit for Resolve. I wanna come up with things, plugins, DCTLs, whatever have you, that are not out there. Okay, I've used every single thing. And what I've learned is that most of the tools are created by color scientists and technicians. They're not colorists. They're not practitioners. They're not out there testing these products. They're mathematicians. And there's a big difference. So what I did is I went and found a team that are the technicians and color scientists, and they know way more than I do in that space. But I start where they stop. So they bring in all the technical mumbo jumbo. And then when they stop, I start exploding from that point on. So what's happening is that I'm going back and I'm giving them feedback and I'm telling them what I want. And then they're developing it. And then we're testing it. So this year, there's going to be a lot of research and development back and forth, testing products. And I'm doing that on the actual projects that I'm working on. So there's no better way to test a tool or test any skill than like when you're in the weeds. So I'm on a project, I'm testing these new products and I'm going, oh, how about if we add this new thing? How about if we take out this thing? Because it's not making much sense. So my goal is very simple from this. I wanna create products that content creators can use. And I'm thinking about like people that are not colorists. Like, you know, even if we think about somebody like say Peter McKinnon, talented, more talented than me in every single aspect, every single thing. Color grading, maybe not as much, right? Because he's not a colorist. But can I create tools for Peter McKinnon where he can just go, this finally makes sense. Like I can understand what it says on the screen and I know if I move that slider, what it's going to do. And these are my products. I'm creating products for like every content creator out there that can just start using it. Can my brother use it? He has a channel that has over a million subscribers and runs away from Resolve because again, every single thing that's out there is so technical. Why does it have to be technical? But when you find things that are not technical, they're just generic like LUTs and presets. That's not what it needs to be. How about if I give you a Kodak 2383, but then you can modify the curve while keeping the DNA of the 2383. Think about that. That's what I'm talking about. Like, it's like, how about I give you the hardest thing that gives it that Joker look or something, but then you can go and manipulate each aspect of like the roll-offs on the highlights or like on the toe, like on the shadows. Like, how can we go and like manipulate those little things, right? So there's so many tools like that. And then how can we just create a tool that does one thing in the simplest way possible, and you don't necessarily have to mess around with too many things, because I've already worked on it for 12 years and came up with like grain should 80% of the time look like this, or halation looks great at this, at these settings, you know, to get started with, and like you're 85, 90% there. Like those sort of things. So like, I'm just like kind of giving you ideas of like what I got cooking, and my whole thing is going to be, this is a new space for me, right? So now I'm going to be focusing on learning marketing around that and advertising around that, because I haven't sold products yet. I haven't sold products because I didn't want to put out just amateur stuff. I didn't want to put out stuff just to make a quick buck, right? Like, it's not a cash grab. I actually wanted to create tools that I would have freaking loved to have. You know, let's think about something like Magic Bullet. It wasn't that great, but that's what inspired me to become a colorist. It's one of the things that kind of lured me in, and I'm like, wait, what is this? And then I realized very early on, it's too harsh, it's too caked on, I want something different, but I love what it did. And then I got into Resolve and Apple Color and all those things. So what I'm saying is, like, my tools are going to inspire people. My tools are going to get you looks that are literally some of the best work that you see from like Super Bowl commercials and movies, but you will be able to get it with the least amount of knowledge. You could be a beginner and you can still get those looks. Another absolutely incredible thing that's going to happen with these is because I want to put out masterclasses with my tools. So I take you through every single parameter. I also take you through what was going through my head when I put a certain parameter in a sequence, in a specific order. That is something nobody has ever done in this space. They just sell you their plugin and they grab your cash, and then you just see like one glossy video and you think everything is gonna look so great, and then you bring it in and you start messing with it and you're like, dude, it's not the same. Like, it's not doing anything, you know, what they sold me. It's because somebody is like, nobody is like really taking you through the steps and how it should be used, because going back to the same thing, they're technicians. They just put the parameters in place. They don't know in which order they should go or how they should work properly. So each tool will have a masterclass, which means when you're paying for the tool, you're paying for the masterclass, or if you're paying for the masterclass, it's coming with the best tool. So it becomes a no-brainer. And now you can think of like, I'm working out giving you a deal that makes you feel stupid saying no to. You understand what I'm doing? So like, now I'm already thinking about like the marketing strategy, like how can I sweeten the deal? How can I give you more than what you're gonna get, where you just can't say no to it? And when you get to that point, everybody's winning, because I don't need to hard sell you. You're just gonna go, dude, there's so much here that I need and I must have, I'm gonna go get it. So, you know, I'm bringing it all together and letting you know that it's not just one thing or this thing or that thing. Like, you got to pick up like new skills that are going to help you with that real thing that you're passionate about. Hopefully we went in many different directions here, but the focus was the same, which was how can we focus on this year in a productive way, not in a generic way. Again, you know, the BS like 20-step morning routines, like let's just push that to a side. You know, toxic mindsets like, I'm just this way, I'm just that way, let's put that aside. You know, hey man, like this worked out for that person, but not me. Let's be realistic. Let's put that mindset aside, right? And stay inspired, stay pumped. Be around people that accept and embrace your crazy, because you're crazy until you're successful. Then you're a genius, right? So many successful people have said that quote. This is obviously not from me, but the message is powerful. Like, you have to have people that believe in you and that like push you. That doesn't mean that you just have tons of fakers that are just like telling you, yes, every single thing that you're doing is great. You still want somebody to ground you and tell you when you're wrong, but it has to be your trusted source, the source that you picked, not just some random person. Don't give everybody the license to just like slap you around. I'm gonna look at a few questions and then we're gonna wrap it up. Oh, okay, so this question came from Final Touch Studio. How do you maintain focus in a world of distractions? It's tough. It is tough. I have to say, I think it becomes easier when you have a singular purpose. That's why I'm talking about like having one goal than 20, because 20 goals will require you to listen to 20 different people and watch 20 different videos and read 20 different books, and now you can do the math. But if your purpose is, if you have a singular purpose, you have one goal for 1 year, and you're focusing on that thing, then everything is going to be going into that bucket, right? Like every single win goes into that bucket. Every single idea goes in that direction. So I think that would be the thing to sum it up, right? And when you have one big goal, I don't mean like then attack it from like count as like, okay, now the tools have to come out and they need to be sold and I have to make $1 million for me to think that I won. Okay, now that is my one big goal, but then I have tons of like micro like steps, like goals, wins that I have, like even daily wins that I will go through and I will check it off. And then winning begets winning, right? Like going back to that thing, winning is addicting. So it's like once you're winning, then you just don't want to like, so like right now, right? Like I want to lose some weight in my gut. Like I just feel like I have some weight right here. It's not terrible, but it's not great. Right. So like, I want to have a flat belly. How can I get there? And again, one of the things that I picked up from Arnold's book, which was genius, is that he said when he was making movies and running multiple businesses, he was like, I was so busy. And he was like, I was going to get on another Terminator. And he's like, I had to lose some weight. So he's like, instead of getting on cardio, because he's like, cardio is basically you selling calories. He's like, you know, you do cardio, you sell 400, 500, 800 calories. It's just buying and selling. That's what he's like, calories are all about buying and selling. So he's like, if I eat a cheesecake, that's 1200 calories. If I do cardio and I burn 1200 calories, so I bought 1200 calories eating the cheesecake. I sold 1200 calories by being on a treadmill, right? And burning that fat. So he's like, that's what it is. So he's like, I didn't have time to spend 3 hours doing cardio because he's like, I was making films and I was doing so many things. So he's like, what I did is that I just stopped eating that cheesecake, right? Like I stopped consuming the extra 1200 calories because then I didn't have to burn those 1200 calories. So that fucking like, I went, holy shit, this is insane. So that's like one of the things that I started doing. Like I work out and then I come home at night and I do one extra hour of like cardio to burn fat. But then I'm just like, what if I just stop munching these six things that I know for a fact are like 600 or 400 calories. And if I stop taking 400 calories, I don't have to be on a treadmill for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 50 minutes burning that. And now I just save myself an extra hour that can go into my business. So I save that time, right? So I personally feel like that is, if you start looking at, you know, your time like that, that could be a huge game changer. Okay, so this question came from Sebs LMAO. How many hours do you work a week? Do you have a good work-life balance? About how much free time do you have left over? So personally, like, I don't look at time like that because I've been freelancing and running my own shop and being my own boss for so freaking long that I actually don't know any other way. Like, I'm just being serious. I don't know any other way. So what I do is I go through all these different regimens, like beginning of the day, work, work, work. I start at this time and I gotta end at that time and then it's family time. And every time I'm that structured, it just doesn't really work for me. It just pulls the joy out of me. So I am very much like going with the flow type of guy. But I do have, like what I do is just every day before I go to sleep, I have an agenda for the following 2-3 days and they're itemized. So I use this tool called Google Keep. It's like, I hope Google doesn't cancel that tool because they just are notorious for like killing their apps and tools that don't really like blow up. But Google Keep is not very popular, but it's the tool that works for me. And I absolutely love it. And I just go there and I just like add like four things, right? So like after this live, I have to send some stuff to my my developer for the products that we're working on. So I just like wrote like send X, Y, Z, and I just like have that in there. So now it's just that simple. Like every time I have a lull and I'm like, wait, what am I supposed to do? I just go to Google Keep and I go, okay, that's... So time blocking doesn't work for me because I don't have a perfect routine. Sometimes I'm waking up at like 6 a.m. Sometimes I'm waking up at like 11:30 a.m. So it's like, I don't necessarily have a perfect routine and I kind of just like roll with it, that because whenever the inspiration hits, I run with that. So then time blocking is not for me. But this itemized like lists are very important for me and they keep me on track. And then when it comes to spending time with the family, I love, because my wife is my best friend. So like we just get to spend a lot of time together. And like randomly I'll go downstairs to like grab something to eat and she'll be downstairs and we end up, talking for like hour and a half and just shooting shit. So I get a lot of that. My brothers are the same way. Like, we're always fired up and like, whether we're playing FIFA together and having a blast and talking about like what show we're watching, or when I'm like talking to them about like the next business venture and what they are doing and what I can do. And like we bring ideas together. And same thing with my parents. Like I have like a set day that I'm going to go see them once a week minimum and spend some time with them guilt free. So that's how I roll. So hopefully it answers your question, but no, man, like I'm not the guy who's just like, 7 to like 3 p.m. I do this and 3 to 4 p.m. I do that. Like, I don't do that. I think it's just becoming like a old school mindset of like people sticking with like selling their planners that you just have to stick with like a specific time, especially as an artist. I can't speak for doctors. I can't speak for, I don't know, other fields. Maybe like routine is very important. I just personally feel like it's not that important to me. Somebody just asked, how old are you, Kazi? Random versus 21 asks, how old are you? I'm going to be turning 38 on January 31st. I'm super pumped about it because I feel like the thing that I like about getting older is that you just get less reactive. I love that. And you become more proactive. Like it just, there's a certain like zen quality to getting older. You just get wiser. Well, you're gonna get wiser only if you actually focus on learning and getting better every day. But I just personally feel like the 30-year-old me was so reactive, like so ready to jump and crazy and just nuts and not necessarily knowing what's happening, just things are happening, and I can't really replicate a certain thing. And I just feel like the older I get, I still have the passion. That's just going to be me. Like that's my energy and that's there. So that's going to stay there. But now it's just a lot more calculated. It's a lot more like I'm going to bring it for this point, and then it's going to go back to like me being like calm, chill, all of that. So I feel like I just love getting older, like for that reason. So 38, man, it's insane. I'm going to see what else you guys got. Ben Buysen asked, like, did you watch Arnold's Netflix documentary? Yes, I have. It's I highly recommend it. It's incredible. 3-parter, and I love how they broke it up. So I think 3 episodes are called Bodybuilder, Actor, Politician. And I love that they did that. And it's so inspiring because that's why it's so important to like look up and have inspirations and only follow the advice of people that are way ahead of you and way above you, because the thought expands when that happens, okay? I always use that example, like when I first bought my first nice car, it was a used BMW 328i, and I remember making the purchase and like literally signing the papers and coming out with the car, and I called my older brother. And I sat on the side of the road and I told him, I'm like, dude, I want to throw up right now. I mean, I'm exaggerating, like side of the road, like I was actually driving and got out of my car. But no, I bought the car. I came out. I took a picture with the car. And then before I left the dealership, I sat down and I called my brother and I said, I'm about to throw up because I feel like I made the worst decision of my life. And I don't know. And then he just like went, he's like, you know, welcome to the freaking world. You know, this is just the beginning. And he just pumped me up. My, like, again, super pumped thing is not new for the Kazis. Like, we live and breathe it. And that dude fired me up. He's like, you know, there's going to be a day when you're going to buy a $150,000 car and you're not even going to think about it. And the funniest shit is, like, when I bought my Porsche, it came from, like, across the state. And I didn't even go to look at it. I only looked at the pictures. I wired the money and waited for the car to get here. Like, I didn't go to check out the car. I didn't drive the car. None of that. I just said, hey, this is what I want. What do we have to do? They said, hey, sign this. Send the paperwork. Done, done, done. Send me the car. All right, I'm moving on to the next thing. I got to make a YouTube video. So it's like the first thing was so hard and it was so crazy. And then the craziest thing was like so easy because you've just done it so many times that now is just part of you. So I personally feel like with Arnold's documentary, like it was insane that he just talks about like, hey, becoming Mr. Olympian and like becoming the best bodybuilder in the world was like the first of the many goals. And you're like, what? Like that would be somebody's ultimate goal. And then he reaches that and he's like, I'm just getting started. And then he's like, I'm going to become the best actor, the highest paid actor, not the best, like he's the Daniel Day-Lewis, but I'm going to become the highest paid actor. And then he goes and he does that. And he goes and he becomes the highest paid actor. And then he goes, I'm going to get in politics and change some shit up. And then he becomes a governor for the best, like the biggest state in the country. Like, it's insane. Like, there's so much activity that's happening in California, and he doesn't become a governor for, like, just some random, like, country state. Like, he becomes a governor for this state. So, like, the point is that, you know, keep your goals high, man. It's okay. And at the same time, if you're just the type of person that is just like, this gives me anxiety, that's not my life, that is also okay. But what I'm saying is that people that want to achieve things and want to go for that next, you know, their big bread, then you have to look up to people that what your ideal dream would be is like their stepping stone. And that just, again, like the thought expands. Like if you live in a house that's a $2 million home and you go to your friend's house where, or all your friends are living in an $8 million house, it's only a matter of time when you get an $8 million house. And it's not for keeping with the Joneses, but because that became your reality. That became normal. And now you're going to go get that, right? Money, rich gets richer. Like that's just basically saying that rich people have the resources. And then if you know rich people, they can hook you up, right? So like you will always find these deals. Like a lot of rich people keep getting richer because, you know, before Facebook was Facebook, Facebook needed VCs to build Facebook. And they went to these venture capitalists and asked for $1 million and asked for $3 million. And their $3 million right now are $5 billion, right? So the rich gets richer because they knew people, they had the money, and it was just that easy. So it's not like a mindless thing. It's that, you know, it's just that. So that's why I love these questions because they just take the conversations like in so many different directions. I love it. Okay, let's take a few more. Can you recommend any book for color grading? So honestly, the only books that I can recommend for color grading are going to be the books by Resolve. Like those user manuals, like user guides are really good because every book on color grading is going to be technical. So you might as well just go to the source and they're free. Don't buy them on Kindle because you're going to end up paying $40. But like if you just Google it and type in like literally DaVinci Resolve Beginner's Guide for Color Grading PDF, you can download it. And, you know, just go through that and then play around with those tools. I feel like you're going to get so much more value out of it. But when it comes to like color grading material, it's all that. Hater asked, like, Kazi, I want to ask about your courses. Do you have it in subtitles in Arabic? I don't have subtitles yet. Subtitles become ridiculously expensive and a very long process because my course that I currently have has so many videos. So the answer is no. But the best thing is that it's self-paced. So if you do get it, you can just rewatch the videos as many times as you want until it makes sense. Because a lot of people freak out. They're just like, I can speak and understand English, but I'm not really fluent at it. Can I still do it? Well, the thing is, you can change the speed, first of all. So you can literally watch it at half the speed. And then also, you can just keep rewatching it until it makes sense. So somebody's asking like, hey, if I, or I think they got it. They said like, I joined FCM because I want to quit retail and have more time with my family. Basically, they're asking like if they can work as a freelance colorist. I'm going to be the biggest phony if I just tell you, yes, guaranteed 1000%, get my course and you'll never have to work another day in your life. And, you know, you can work from home. You can do all these things. That's just going to make me like one of those scumbags, you know, that just make all these promises. So I'm not going to say any of that because it's not true. But what is true is, you know, a kid like Pratik from India who did get the course, got into color grading, started working with big brands, bought himself a $35,000 monitor, just got a studio, and he is only 18. So that happened after FCM, you know. So, and the examples, this is just one of like hundreds of people that have gotten those results. But it's not every single person. We have over 6,200 plus students now, and not everybody is like, you know, swinging for the fences. So it will really come down to how far you want to push it, how serious you want to take it, how much you want to swim in that Kool-Aid. But if you're willing to do it, like, yes, it's going to happen. Meglobeard. I love Meglobeard's question. He says, do we get access to QT if we already pay for the masterclass? So the most beautiful thing about this question is, one, he is already calling it. So basically the acronym for Kazi's toolkit is sticking. He's already calling it QT. And that was my goal, right? Because freelance colorist masterclass is very long. And I just condensed it to FCM. And Kazi's toolkit is short and simple, but QT is better. So I love that. And all the FCM members, you guys are going to get a really, really sweet deal. So I'm not going to tell you how much, but when the tool comes out, I'm going to send out an email only to all my FCM members, FCM fam, and you guys are going to get a really, really sweet discount. So yes, again, it's going to make it a no-brainer. So you would want to get the tools. Stay tuned, stay pumped. And yes, you guys are going to, and you guys will also may get a preview during the competitions that we do. So in our masterclass, we do weekly competitions and then everybody gets basically a tailor-made feedback by me or our co-host, Nick. So one of these weeks, like I might actually show you some of the tools and, you know, what's going on, like basically catch you up on the progress where we're at so far. So it's super, super exciting. All right. Somebody asked, micro panel or mini panel? Okay. So it depends on the budget 100%. But if you can put out the money for the mini panel, it's a no-brainer because a panel with an LCD screen is a game changer because with their new updates, it can dynamically change to like the new tools that are coming out. So micro panel makes it really difficult to use HDR palette, but then mini panel makes it really easy to use HDR palette. And then the big panel, forget about it. Like, I mean, the big panel is like this panel and this monitor get used the most out of everything that I've owned. So I don't regret these purchases for like half a second, you know? I got a big Elgato that I use a lot. Then I got a small one. Even the small Elgato, I regret that purchase because it's just like an access, just an additional thing that I don't really use that much. But this thing that cost me so much, my monitor and my panel, I don't regret it for half a second. And the new best thing that happened with the panel now or the monitor is that I started using it as a GUI. So like I just have it up. Like everything on this monitor. It's like the text rendering is so good. The colors are always going to be like the monitor that is used to like grade Hollywood movies. So it's like, it just doesn't get better than that. Like the surety is so much. Like when you just look at Like right now, I'm looking at, what's the movie? Past Lives, I feel like. I'm looking at like an image from that graded by Tom Poole, and it's how he graded it. Like it looks exactly like that. There is no shift in the yellows. Like they're not going to magenta or they're not going to green. They're just exactly how it should be. So like, it just gives me so much confidence, whether I'm looking like at my thumbnail for the next YouTube video or whether I'm like working on a music video for a client. So if you can, go for the real thing. Taurus.video just said, he's like, hey, just started watching your content. Love it. You made me realize how much I suck at color grading. So that's amazing and thank you. But that's, you know, that's not the goal, man. The goal is to just keep at it and, you know, just like one tool at a time. We're having a really interesting season right now for our FCM challenge where we have tool restrictions. So like we, per week, when we put out an assignment, we tell our contestants that they can only use this tool or that tool and they can't use just anything or everything. So we have like tool restrictions. We will give them 4 tools to use. So having those guardrails is so important because when you have unlimited access to like all these cool tools, you're just gonna overcomplicate and overengineer every single grade. But when you're just like stuck in that, right? Like you have to like do something inside of this, you'll be surprised how much you can get out of it. So the results that we see are incredible. What people can achieve with just so few tools compared to using like Color Warper and secondaries and power windows and this, that, and the other thing and LUTs and plugins and all that stuff. So yes, like restrictions are very, very important. All right, guys, this was amazing. I hope you guys, again, are going to have an epic year. Stay positive, stay pumped, listen to content that just juices you up, stay inspired, find people that are your people, don't settle, don't just be like, well, you know, whatever, this person has a lot of good qualities, but a few bad qualities, like who cares? No. Deserve better, go get better, and like, you know, be around people that like really push you, push others. Be happy for other people's wins. Like when other people are winning, don't be nonchalant. Don't be a cool cat. Like I'm going to end it on this, like which is a really funny thing. I just sent a message to a person slash friend, you know, acquaintance slash friend. I sent him this voice message. It was 4.5, 5 minutes long. And I was just so pumped. And I was sharing like what I got cooking and products that I'm working on. And because we were talking about that, like that person asked me that, hey, is this plugin a good plugin that you recommend? And I'm like, yeah, it's not a bad plugin. You can get it. But I'm like, dude, I'm working on this. It's incredible. And I just literally, like I'm talking to my brothers. Like I just poured my heart out. I'm so pumped. And the reply was, yeah, I can see that. Or something like that. I was like, what the fuck? What the fuck is wrong with people? Like, I don't understand, like, how in this person's mind, he just thinks that is an appropriate response. And then he just moved on to sharing, like, a YouTube video or something. And I'm just sitting here going, okay, like, that's not my person. Like, that's not happening again. Like, what am I, a fucking stupid, like, idiot? Like, that just has, like, nothing but time that I'm spending, like, 5 minutes sharing my passion and so pumped. And your reply is going to be like, yeah, I can see that. Like it blew my mind. So I just wanted to share that example because when stuff like that happens to you, that's not your person. Move on, you know, and like find people that actually will get it, be in it, and will be pumped for you. If you enjoyed this episode, then please leave a review. It helps so much. Subscribe to the podcast for more content, and I will see you in the next one.